This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. For over a decade, the IBM Center for the Business of Government has sought to connect research to practice, sponsoring third-party research on a broad range of public management issues facing us today. Calls for more collaborative government arrive on the heels of new tools to increase information sharing. Many of us are familiar with Wikipedia, which relies on thousands of active contributors who share their knowledge freely on a dazzling breadth of topics. So how can government leaders spark similar outpourings of valuable knowledge, either among their employees or from the public? Today, public leaders face the challenge of finding new ways to use these tools to improve collaboration within or between organizations and, where appropriate, with citizens. What are wiki technologies? How can government agencies use wikis to more effectively meet mission? What are some of the key challenges and best practices for the use of wikis in government? Today, we will explore these questions and so much more with Inez Merkel, author of the recent IBM Center report, Using Wikis in Government, a Guide for Public Managers. Dr. Merkel doesn't wear rose-tinted glasses, though. She observes that wikis are, on the one hand, relatively easy to create, and on the other hand, maintaining collaboratively produced content while sustaining the quality and quantity of contributions over time is a formidable task for public managers. Welcome, Professor Merkel. It's good to have you on the program.
Thank you so much for the invitation, and this is a great opportunity to talk about my report. I'm currently an assistant professor of public administration at the Maxwell School of Citizenship and Public Affairs in Syracuse, New York. And I'm teaching classes here on what's currently called Government 2.0, so it's the use of social networking services in the public sector. My background is in business economics, so I have really initially no clue about the public sector, but I studied in Germany and the Netherlands business economics with a focus on knowledge management. And then I went to get a doctorate degree from a business school in Switzerland, again focusing on information management, how informal channels are produced among managers to share knowledge. And I'm analyzing their social networks. I'm diving deep into their social relationships and trying to understand where they get information from when it's not coming through the formal hierarchy. And the report that I've done here really comes out of my current research on the use of social networking services in the public sector, because now that I'm teaching at a public affairs and government school, I'm working a lot with Master of Public Administration students who are interested in becoming leaders in the public sector. And the report is titled Using Wikis in Government, a Guide for Public Managers. And it's based on my research that I've done where I went out to interview managers of wikis. We can really call them lighthouse projects right now in the public sector because it's not a widely used technology. And I interviewed them for about 1 to 2 hours. I recorded all the interviews and then I wrote the report with the help of IBM with a research stipend that I got.
Professor Merkel, in response to President Obama's Transparency and Open Government Memorandum and the Open Government Initiative, federal agencies have increased their use of new media technologies. First, would you outline the key points of the memo and the Open Government Initiative? And what are the three key areas of operation that were identified in need of improvement?
Yeah, so the memo was for me really a starting point to dive deeper into the Open Government Initiative. The memo that is now really famous, it's called Open Government and Transparency. He outlined in this one day after his inauguration, which is kind of interesting that it came out at that time, he gave instructions to the departments and agencies of the executive branch in the U.S. federal government to become more participatory, more transparent, and more collaborative. Now, he didn't say much about how the agencies should accomplish these steps. He just said, you know, we need to tap into the knowledge that is out there, be very inclusive, include all our employees, the public, all kinds of stakeholders. And in one of the paragraphs, he did mention that the agencies should harness new technologies to accomplish this. And that was really my starting point, where I thought, okay, now we are getting into social media and social networking services, and he is pushing really a mandate onto his departments and agencies to use these new technologies. And it was followed up by several other policies and regulations. For example, public records management. Where there's also a great IBM report out on that, so that the agencies felt more comfortable to actually use these tools, which are channels outside of, you know, the traditional IT environment that a government usually operates in. And so those are the three areas: becoming more participatory, transparent, and collaborative.
Professor Merkel, the need for an increased collaborative culture and behavior among public sector organizations has recently become apparent in the failure to connect the dots and share information across organizational boundaries in such areas, homeland security or securing the nation. What are wiki technologies, and to what extent do you think they have the capacity to replace so-called siloed knowledge management systems?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we know wikis. I think most of us know Wikipedia. It's an online encyclopedia. The whole world can contribute knowledge, and within a few years, we have captured millions and millions of pages of knowledge, and it really has become the most popular platform for editing collaboratively content. And in similar ways, the platform that Wikipedia is built on, MediaWiki, or also other free platforms like Wikispaces, can be used in government to become more collaborative by editing text together with theoretically really unlimited amounts of authors, if you want. Everyone can immediately see what you've edited, who edited what, who deleted things, who changed what. In the discussion section, people can discuss why they have changed content. They can have real exchanges and then collaboratively decide what they want to display on the front page. And they can also revert back to previous versions if they are unhappy with what other people deleted. Why I think it's an innovation in government and why we can potentially use it to break down knowledge silos is that, you know, traditionally, and it's not really traditionally because it's what we do currently, is we are creating a Word document, we are deciding who we want to send it to. At that point, we are already making a decision who gets that email from us, who is part of this email header, who is added to it, and then other people might forward our email to their colleagues. But we are making a conscious decision who we want to include and who we want to exclude in our knowledge exchanges. And in the same way, we are also working with how we share our and file our knowledge on hard drives or on network drives. It's usually restricted to a number of colleagues in our team, or might be a shared network drive, but then it's only for our department. But it's certainly not visible for the whole organization. So we're always making conscious choices who will be included or excluded, and thereby really siloing knowledge and with, giving access to very specific users. A wiki can kind of open it up as a new channel and include everyone potentially in the organization. And so the hope is that we are no longer hiding behind these perceived silos, but we are opening our organization for ourselves and, you know, understand what our organizational knowledge is and who can write about what kind of topics.
I'd like to transition to wiki use in government. Your report identified several different purposes for wiki use in government. Would you elaborate on these purposes?
So for my report, I've identified several different purposes for wiki use in government. One is the very open information creation environment. A very good example for that is that it was recently also covered in the New York Times, where the Army reached out to its authorized personnel to invite them to rewrite the Army Counterinsurgency Manual. as I said, they reached out to authorized personnel. So it's not an open, you know, sharing with the public. Instead, everyone, all the army members scattered around the whole world, basically, were allowed to chime in and say, you know, we want to tweak this. We want to change this. This is no longer up to date. Why don't we write it this way? This is more the reflecting of our current standard operating procedures. And so we can use it for a very specific topic to say, this is our topic. This is what we want to add or change. Invite everyone to participate in the information creation. Then we can also just limit it, the use, to just our team and say, you know, this is a team wiki. It's for a specific ongoing project. Instead of sending files around, not knowing what the latest version is, or if others in the meantime have already worked on a document, why not put everything, the current state of our knowledge, on a wiki? We can trace who has edited what. It's open to our team, and we can make a decision if we want to open it up later on to other people in the whole department, for example. So it's also a great project management tool. Obviously, you can also just use it for personal note-taking as a full-fledged knowledge management system, where you kind of dump all documents and all the knowledge that you have into the wiki. So those are the three purposes that I've identified in this report.
Before we delve into specific case studies, and your report identifies 9 specific case studies, I'd like to know more about ExpertNet. Could you tell us a little bit more about ExpertNet and how does it represent crowdsourcing?
Yeah, ExpertNet is a great tool that was created as part of the Open Government Initiative by OSTP. And it's kind of interesting because it's really observable to the public, to everyone who wants to see how a wiki works. People can go online. We've provided the link. And what it does is that OSTP wanted to collect opinions and ideas from the public to really get expert input on the Open Government Initiative. What are things that we haven't accomplished yet? Where should we go in the future? What are the right steps? It's a crowdsourcing example in a very public way where the government opens itself up and says, you know, we want to show how we can use the software, but at the same time also collect opinions.
Professor Merkel, your report is chock full of interesting case studies. This shows the breadth of wiki use in the public sector. I'd like to understand how you came about identifying and choosing these representative case studies. Could you tell us more about your approach and how you identified these examples of wiki use in government?
Yeah, so identifying cases was a really interesting process because, as I said at the beginning, what we see right now and also the cases that I've outlined here are really lighthouse projects. This is not standard operating procedures. We are far from that. So I've started to understand the whole Government 2.0 movement mostly by following the hashtag Gov2.0 on Twitter. And people started to talk about their project. They started to, ask for input from other experts in the field. And over time, I noticed that there are a few wikis out there that might be worth talking to the wiki managers. So my first exposure to wikis in governments was in 2008 when I heard the Web 2.0 evangelists from the intelligence community talking to us at the Kennedy School of Government, where I was a postdoc at the time. And they told us about this new information paradigm that they were trying to create in the intelligence community, really as a remedy of the 9/11 effects, that we do have all the knowledge in our organization, we just don't know where it is. And so they told us about Intellipedia. And then I thought, okay, if the intelligence community can go towards a collaborative sharing environment where it's traditionally really about more hiding information and protecting information instead of openly sharing it, why can't we do that in other agencies? So I looked out for different types of wikis and then contacted the wiki administrators through my network on Twitter, on LinkedIn, Facebook, and people are very willing to share their results. What I wanted to do is give a broad overview of all kinds of different users. So what we've done in this report is to organize the 9 case studies that I was able to find into 3 different sections. So the first one is the pure intra-organizational use from a standpoint of a single organization that wants to use a wiki and share knowledge internally without giving access to anyone in other departments or the public. And then the second part are the for inter-organizational use, where we allow maybe participation from other agencies and departments. We are still behind the firewall, and it's really for government use only. And then the third part of wikis that I'm presenting in the report for engaging the public. So they are hosted by government to collect feedback from the public or all kinds of other stakeholders.
Professor Merkel, as you noted, the examples of wiki use in government are organized primarily by audience, intra-organizational use, inter-organizational use, and those wikis that are used to engage the public. I'd like to focus first on the intra-organizational use of wikis, with specific focus on Diplopedia. What is it? How has it evolved since its conception? And what are some of the key outcomes to date?
Yeah, Diplopedia is a very interesting example. So it's hosted by the State Department. The background is that the State Department sends out their public affairs officials to different countries all the time. They are on a two-year rotation. They are going to Italy, for example, open up the embassy there, or following up an ambassador or other public affairs officials. And there was very little information exchange. And so people thought, why don't we set up a whole Web 2.0 environment internally to allow people who are currently stationed in Italy, for example, to share their insights that they gained about local habits, preferences that their Italian counterparts have, or foreign counterparts, of course, everywhere in the world, and then share this with the incoming cohort of people who are replacing them. So create channels for knowledge exchange long before people are even deployed to their new office. Diplopedia is used for that, and it's using the wiki, but it's also using blogs and recently also a social networking component. And it's very successful. It's certainly one of the lighthouse projects of the State Department, and they're very happy with how it picked up and has thousands of users by now.
Professor Merkel, the next example you offer in your report of the intra-organizational wiki is the DoD Techopedia. What are the goals of this intra-organizational wiki? How has it evolved since its inception? And what are some of the key outcomes to date?
What they are doing is completely on the intranet. They are trying to collect technical information that they have available so that when people are trying to contract out projects or are trying to select information for a new project, that they're not always starting at zero, but that they can go back to a knowledge base that is already existing on the intranet and select the information and then rewrite it for new contractors. So it's really an intra-organizational knowledge base of technical research documents, scientific and technical information that is provided and can be reused. And then it's also added to it on a continuous basis. And they have a lot of gardeners there, so editors who are reviewing the documents, who are merging existing documents, and are constantly updating it. By now, they have more than 20,000 users.
How are government agencies using wikis to enhance their information sharing efforts? We will explore this question and so much more when our special edition of the Business of Government Hour, A Conversation with Authors, returns. What are the 7 management imperatives all government executives need to know? How is DoD improving its business operations? What is FAA's next generation air transportation system, or NextJet? How is New York City shaping a government that is customer-focused, innovative, and more efficient? And what about power, security, and leadership in the 21st century? Pick up the latest edition of the Business of Government magazine and find out. We bring you insights and interviews from government executives who are changing the way government does business. Download or order a free copy at businessofgovernment.org. Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors exploring ideas to improving government effectiveness. My guest today is Inez Merkel, author of the IBM Center report, Using Wikis in Government, a Guide for Public Managers. In our last segment, Professor Merkel, you outlined a couple of examples of wiki use in government that specifically enabled agencies to allow its employees to share information internally. I'd like to explore examples of wikis designed primarily for information sharing across agencies. These wikis help government agencies provide information to each other when their systems aren't connected. The first one I'd like to explore is Intellipedia, Would you tell us more about the goals of Intellipedia? How has it evolved since its inception? And what are some of the key outcomes to date?
Yeah, so Intellipedia was really the first wiki project that we all have heard about. So there might be other wiki projects that were going on, but it really got most of the attention in the public sector. It started in 2005 really as an internal pilot project, and then it evolved around, again, a whole suite of Web 2.0 applications. It's opened up to 16 or 18 different intelligence agencies of all kinds of departments in government. So that's why we can call it an inter-organizational wiki, because it's not just hosted by one department. And it allows intelligence analysts to collaboratively work and combine knowledge that they have about a specific country, a specific project, informants, and no longer, or hopefully that's the hope, no longer just write an intelligence report from the perspective of just one analyst. So the crowdsourcing element here is that you are trying to combine intelligence information that is available and scattered across all these different agencies that might be collecting similar information on the same topic, and then make a better decision at the end. Because you have more insights, you might also have conflicting opinions, and you can have those exchanges without always just having that neutral point of view of just one person. So the crowd element here is really important, and they are also trying very hard to make this not an anonymous contribution like Wikipedia, for example. So how do we know that we can trust the information that is up there? Instead, everything is attributable to one specific intelligence officer. People are leaving what they call breadcrumbs. So there's always, if you are not on the same security clearance, for example, there's always a link to the contact person who has uploaded the content, who has written about it. So you can call people up, you can walk over to their offices and then get more insights and information.
What I really appreciated about your report is the variety of case studies presented. You have examples from U.S. federal agencies, local governments, and you also have international examples as well. I'd like to discuss one of those examples, and it comes from the government of Canada. Would you tell us about the goals of GCpedia? How has it evolved since its inception, and what are some of the key outcomes to date?
Yes, GCpedia, which is a Government of Canada wiki, is really based on the idea of Intellipedia. What the government wanted to do in Canada was to basically give all public service employees one platform where they can share knowledge. So what they have done, without restricting it just to the intelligence community, for example, everyone with a .gov email address can ask for a login and get access, and then people can decide if they want to use the wiki as a collaboration space just for their team, for a whole department, or make the knowledge widely available to everyone in government. So it's a very large, potentially very large project that they have on their hands, and they have just started, so we see the first use of it. They are hoping to also make necessary changes to the culture and opening it up so that every employee in the whole Canadian government can use the wiki.
Professor Merkel, I'd like to transition now to wiki use in government that specifically try to engage citizens. These are government agencies have created these wikis to engage citizens in the idea generation and policy definition process. For instance, citizens are invited, often for a bounded time, to submit their own ideas, comments on submissions, and help formulate final policy documents. First up would be Better Buy with GSA. What are the goals of this wiki, and how has it evolved since its inception, and what are some of the key outcomes to date?
Yes, so the Better Buy wiki that was created by Mary Davey at her time when she was at GSA last year is what I would call our first government 2.0 success. Because the way that the Better Buy wiki came into life really was, it started as a conversation on govloop.com, what's Steve Ressler's Facebook for Government. And Mary was thinking about how can we better redesign the acquisition process at GSA. So how can we include information from contractors, from contracting officers, from the public, from those departments who want to use the service or the tool or the software that we are acquiring for them. So in a very early stage of the acquisition process, how can we create a place where everyone can chime in, and then we can come up with a better information piece for potential contractors who want to bid on this. So she started to have this conversation, and there's a really nice discussion group on GovLoop that you can follow. And she invited journalists, contractors, just generally government employees who have something to add. And they discussed this, how can we set this up and what kind of tools should we use for that? And then the result was that they wanted to set up a wiki. So she tried it with an initial project, and they had, I think, one or two acquisitions in the RFP process out there, and, you know, really created a business case why we can create or crowdsource better information to make a decision afterwards. Obviously, she thought about a lot about things on how that she wanted to avoid that industry or vendors and contractors might be gaming the system by providing only information that would then directly point them to their bid. So all of this is not just public, but people have to log in. They have to provide their credentials. And before they are posting or before Mary's team would release the information, they would vet it. They would look into it. Does it point too much to just one specific product? Or is this very neutral information that really helps us to provide a better project outline?
Professor Merkel, the EPA Watershed Wiki is part of a larger project within EPA. Could you tell us more about this wiki? What has happened since it's been implemented, and what's some of the key highlights of its accomplishments?
Yeah, so the Watershed Wiki at EPA is an interesting example. We can call it a public wiki because what the EPA did was that they invited experts to provide technical guidance from their counties, localities, but on their specific expert area. And they really didn't have a place to collaborate with government. And even though we think government is always the last authority to have all the information, it's really not true. Government always, on a constant basis, has to reach out to experts. And so they started to create what's called the Watershed Central Wiki. You request a login, you just say who you are, what your interests are in this area, and then you can get access. You can look up different discussion groups, you can look up specific topics, and you can provide data about tools that you are using, applications, you can share them with other experts, you can vet them there, and people can really collaborate on the wiki. So it's a public forum of experts, so it might not be interesting for you and I because we are not experts on watershed, but for the community itself, it was a really important way to start collaborating and providing a platform, and the wiki was the right tool for them to do this.
Professor Merkel, the next case study outlined in your recent report for the IBM Center, Using Wikis in Government, a Guide for Public Managers, comes from the city of Melbourne, Australia. Would you tell us more about the future of Melbourne Wiki? How has it evolved since its inception, and what are some of the key outcomes to date?
Yes, so in Australia, the idea was to create a white space that includes all employees in the first place to understand what the new strategic plan was supposed to be for the city. And then I reached out also to include the public. And they set up the wiki to include everyone who is a stakeholder in ongoing city planning projects. And for the future of Melbourne Wiki, the goal was to really come up with a plan on how the city should look like in 20 years. And the planning process itself is, for many citizens, a black box. Sometimes you don't even know about deadlines, when you can comment on plans. So what they did was they set up the wiki as a collaborative space, invited everyone in the community to become engaged, to submit their ideas. They had an editorial team that constantly looked through the comments and the ideas that citizens were submitting. They merged ideas. You know, obviously, we don't all have unique ideas, so people were merging them from the editorial side. And then after a while, they closed the wiki and said, you know, we have these 4 weeks. That's the time when you can comment. And then they, the editorial team went and did their work. They looked through all the ideas that were submitted and made the suggestions to the city council, and then started to work in working groups and reached out more to the public to identify step-by-step goals for the strategic plan then.
We've seen the rise of wiki use in planning initiatives. I want to talk about one particular. The city of San Jose, California launched Wiki Planning. What are some of the specific goals of this wiki? And again, how has it evolved since its inception? And what are some of the significant outcomes to date?
Yes, the Wiki Planning Project in San Jose is interesting because it's on a local government level. And what they tried to do was to include a lot of citizens into their urban planning initiatives. They call the Wiki Planning Project a virtual charrette for city planning. So what they wanted to do is to create collaborative sessions where they not only included designers in the planning process, but also all stakeholders. So the local businesses around the marketplace that they wanted to redesign, but also nonprofit groups, citizen groups, individual citizens who have an interest in how the new marketplace should look like in the future. Instead of just having a display or website up, they actively reached out to all these groups and invited them to participate in the design process, to respond to ongoing designs, vote on them. And then, they closed it after a while when they had enough feedback and when they felt they had done their due diligence to include everyone. And then the real work behind the scenes started, what we usually know as the black box. But it was a very open process, and they, step by step, every step of the project, they reported the results back to the public. The public was able to vote on them, and it was a very inclusive project for them.
Your final case study is also a local government initiative. It's the Manor Lab, City of Manor, Texas. Would you tell us more about this initiative, its use of wikis since it first was implemented, and some of the key outcomes to date?
Yeah, so I included Manor in Texas, which is a very small town of just 3,600 people, because Dustin Hasler, he was the CTO, I believe, and the city manager, has done a marvelous job with a very small budget to use all kinds of Web 2.0 tools in the city. So they have a WordPress website for the city. They're using wikis. They're using C-Click-Fix for citizens to report their problems and the issues that they have in the city. And they have what's called Manor Labs, where they're collaborating with all kinds of universities around the world in Italy and Stanford. And we are also now working with them on an open innovation project. So what they do with the wiki is that they are trying to invite citizen feedback on an ongoing basis. So it's not just for one specific project, but it's really an ideation process. So every time you come across something in the city where you think, okay, I see this every morning, it doesn't make sense to me, why don't we do it this way? Why don't we pick up the trash on this route? Or what's going on with this construction process? I need more information about this. So citizens on a continuous basis are submitting their ideas. They can take screenshots or pictures with their cell phone and submit it. Other citizens can vote on these ideas and say, yes, I'm with that, with you. I saw that as well. We need to do something about it. And then they invite people to not only submit the ideas, so not just the complaining process, but also to provide a solution. And the incentives for people to participate is they can earn InnoBox, so a virtual currency basically, and then you can earn a ride with a police chief for a day, things like that. So they're really trying to incentivize participation, and with that crowdsourcing element, it helps the city with a very low budget. I think Dustin told me they are paying $200 for wiki spaces as an initial investment. But basically, it's for free for the city, and they are getting, on a continuous basis, feedback and new ideas, and then they can innovate based on that.
What are some of the key challenges facing public managers pursuing the use of wikis to meet mission? And what does the future hold for the use of wikis in government? We'll explore these questions and so much more when our special edition of the Business of Government Hour, A Conversation with Authors, returns. What is FAA's Next Generation Air Transportation System, or NextGen? How is the U.S. Department of Homeland Security turning its one DHS vision into reality? What is New York City doing to shape a government that is customer-focused, innovative, and more efficient? And how is the DoD improving its business operations? Pick up the latest edition of the Business of Government magazine and find out. We bring you insights and interviews from government executives who are changing the way government does business. Hear from FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt, DHS Undersecretary for Management Raphael Boris, New York City Deputy Mayor for Operations Stephen Goldsmith, and Dave Winogrand, Assistant Deputy Chief Management Officer at DoD. Professor Joseph Nye and General Anthony Zinni on power, security, and leadership in the 21st century, and 7 management imperatives that government leaders should pursue to be successful in an era of fiscal constraint. All of this and so much more in the latest edition of the Business of Government magazine. Download or order a free copy at businessofgovernment.org. Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors exploring ideas to improving government effectiveness. My guest today is Inez Merkel, author of the IBM Center report, Using Wikis in Government, a Guide for Public Managers. Professor Merkel, often public managers are hesitant to jump on the social media bandwagon, so it's not surprising that there's a hesitation to start using wikis. I'd like to transition to highlight some of those challenges that public managers face today. You've done a wonderful job in your report of outlining ways where the wiki innovation is actually working. What are some of the challenges of using wikis in government, and how do you meet, for instance, legal requirements for inclusiveness?
Yeah, so the challenges are many, and sometimes they're not only challenges, but they become barriers for adopting Web 2.0 tools. We have seen that in all kinds of different tools that I looked at. Some of the things that we can do with legal requirements and that were really paved the way recently was what GSA has done last summer. So what they did was they signed terms of service agreements with most of the social media providers. I think they have more than 30 of them on their website right now. This is only for the federal government, and NACIO, the National Association of State CIOs, has adopted some of them, at least for Facebook. They haven't done it for YouTube or Twitter or wikis right now. So that's a real barrier. How do we know what kind of tools we can use? In the federal government, it's pretty straightforward now because we have the terms of service agreements that are complying with all the existing federal laws and government practices. But it's a challenge for the state and local levels. There is a platform that's called howto.gov for the federal level, where you can basically select a tool for the purpose you want to accomplish. So if you say you want to engage citizens more, they direct you to different tools. So then you can choose the wiki. They have the signed agreements, and you can download the software. You can, you know, brand it with your logos and your colors and so on. And it's a very easy process, in my opinion, because you can trust that the tools that you are choosing are the right tools and they are vetted and the terms of service agreements are there. So for the federal level, this is easy. Then there are other things in terms of legal requirements, like the Section 508 of the Rehabilitation Act, which basically says that you have to make government information available to everyone. And obviously, we're excluding a lot of people who are not Facebook users, who don't know how to use the web, who don't even have access. And so you need to think about ways on how to provide a parallel structure, basically, to make sure that if you are going for a public wiki where you want to collect input from the public, that you also provide other channels for the public to submit their ideas. So email them, send them a postcard, come up with posters in front of City Hall, mail them in a very traditional way. With that, you can make sure that it's okay to use the wiki, to be inclusive in ways that you are including, you know, the younger population who is on Facebook and Twitter and all these tools all the time. And for them, it's a very natural way to interact with government using a wiki. For others, it will never be a natural way. So you always have to provide parallel channels. In some regions of the country, it's obviously also important to provide the tools that you are using in different languages. So if you have a large population among your constituents, then you want to provide it also in Spanish or French. French obviously was important in the Canadian government because it's bilingual. For us in the U.S., the Spanish population might be in some areas very important. And so you want to provide the text in both languages.
In addition to the legal issues that public managers face, there are also privacy concerns that present another challenge to those who want to adopt a wiki approach in government. How do you ensure privacy and security of content?
Yes, that's a really important problem because a lot of people are afraid of exposing their knowledge. So we have different levels here. One is being willing to contribute your knowledge and feeling that it's valued and that it's in a safe place and others won't go in and destroy it immediately, because that's what we know from Wikipedia, that people are afraid of vandals who just go in or spam or rewrite your content. But what we've seen, even on Wikipedia, it's not really a huge problem. People want to contribute, and they want to contribute valuable content instead of destroying other people's content. The other level is privacy concerns in terms of what if we don't know who's reading our stuff. But remember, everything is hosted on a government website, on the government intranet or internet. And you can control the risk. It's not a public platform in the sense that Wikipedia is. We still want to have people log in, give their credentials, a valid email address, and then have an information vetting process there as well. So before we allow content to be posted, we want to go in and read it, merge it even with other content that's already out there so that we don't have duplicates, but also know where the content is coming from and that people are not gaming or spamming the system.
And so, Professor Merkel, how do you ensure the integrity of information?
So my contribution or my suggestion here is what I've seen from a lot of the wiki managers that answer to this question was you want to have an information vetting process in place. You want to have an editorial team, what is called an intelligence community, the gardeners, that are really weeding through the information that is submitted. And then have a review process in place. So don't just say, okay, he sent it, he uploaded it, and then everything is online. You have to come up with policies that are very transparent and that are communicated to your contributors. This is what will happen with the information. We are keeping the right to review it. We need to understand what you are talking about and what kind of areas this might fit in. And we want to keep the right to delete some of this. We are still in the government context, so even though we are opening up our processes and we want to collaborate, we still need to make sure that this is a protected environment and that the information is valid.
Professor Merkel, your report does a wonderful job of identifying some best practices that public managers could leverage if they choose to use a wiki approach. And one particular thing is engaging participation of the use of wikis. What are some of the best practices to engaging and encouraging participation in wikis?
Yeah, so we need to look at this from two different perspectives. So one is obviously the top management perspective, and the other one is the perspective of those of us who are using a wiki on a daily basis. We need to encourage top management first to be part of this, that they understand what these tools can potentially do for us, and that this is not just one of the new fads and fashions, and that we don't need to jump on every bandwagon. So what I've seen a lot is that people are creating an internal business case first. It's kind of interesting, speaking of business in the government context, but what they do is they're creating a wiki for their team first, say, see, this is what we accomplished. This is the feedback of our employees. Now we want management to come on board. So what managers need to do is start actively contributing and being part of this movement and being part of really the energy and vibrancy of a tool like this and make it a day-to-day routine. That's the only way that you can understand what the tools can do for your organizations. Then we have internal processes, what's more the administrative side of things. I mentioned the gardeners or moderators or editorial team a couple of times. So I'm a big believer in hierarchy in a network. Even though you want to have this as an emergent network of contributors and also emerging content, you still want to make sure that you're providing a safe environment for your contributors. Participation or engagement or incentives will rapidly go down the drain if you don't show that this is a valid and serious environment in which it's worth contributing to. So have your editorial team in place that can be just the two or one person team that works on it on a daily basis. Over time, you might also add interns who might at that point then have enough knowledge to actually understand what people are talking about. I'm more on the side of telling people to use knowledge experts as the editorial team because they know what their peers are talking about. They're better and equipped to actually merge content, to review it, to delete it, and also communicate back to the contributors and say, we've seen that you contributed this. We just want to let you know this has already been posted last week, and we merged everything that you've also said into this page. So it's not gone. It's still there. Here it is. So an active communication between contributors, the editorial team, and understanding, obviously, of top management. And what some of them have done, what I find really interesting, is that you are taking your online content offline. So what you do is, instead of just emailing people or sending them notifications, you actively walk around and say, Hi, just wanted to introduce myself. Just wanted to let you know, thank you so much for your contribution. This is how we reorganize this. It's not gone. It's not a black box where everything disappears. It's still worth contributing. Just wanted to show you how we did this. So that you create buy-in on a face-to-face basis also. Other participation elements or incentives for knowledge experts to contribute is to show them the value. And one way you can do that, obviously, creating those business cases where it's clear, it doesn't take you 4 weeks to collect the information, but you can post a question on the wiki, and then all the 18 different department experts can chime in, and you have your information or your question answered within 4 hours as opposed to 4 weeks. Other incentives that I found really important are that you want to give recognition to people. So one way to do that is obviously that you attribute the content to a specific person and the knowledge provider. Some people might not want to be knowledge experts, or they don't want to be known as that in an organization because then they get too many requests from others. Other people might find that as a huge incentive, and finally someone reads what they have to say. And so for them, it's great to get that recognition. And I know that a lot of agencies are thinking about how they can add this into their annual evaluations. That can be a quantitative element, you know, how many pages did you contribute? How many conversations did you start? Was there an actual product or a better decision that was an outcome of this conversation or the content that you provided? So you can think about several different ways of incentivizing not just the public, but also top management and then contributors to participate.
Professor Merkel, would you highlight some of the best practices you identified for public managers who are responsible for creating and maintaining wikis?
Yeah, so we divided that up into two different parts. I think it's important to think about any tool that you implement and where you want your employees to contribute to from a strategic perspective. So top management needs to be involved. This can't be just something that our small team here uses, but no one else. It's like the telephone, right? If you don't have anyone else to call, then it doesn't really make sense to have this technology. So we need to have buy-in from the top. And what top managers need to understand is that they need to give their organizations enough lead time to actually use the wiki. As I said before, we are operating in government with very strict regulations, knowledge flows top-down or in the reporting structure bottom-up. There's very little leeway, really, for innovation or innovative knowledge to come into the organization and to be vetted. So this is a challenge for any collaborative process and for the existing culture to understand how the technology works, how to set up the appropriate support context, the reference group that reviews your content, the editorial team. What do you do with disputes that are coming up? What kind of administrative processes do you initiate? So every top manager should think about this from a strategic perspective. How can you set up the right environment and the right culture to support a collaborative tool like a wiki, and how can you incentivize people? You need to understand also who your audience is. If you are looking at the public as your audience, I would always say start internally, get your hands dirty, even try to understand how the tools work before you expose yourself to the public. And then what is the mission of your organization, right? How do you even prefer to interact with all the stakeholders and your audiences? And then make a conscious decision about the acceptable content and behavior on your wiki. And again, that sounds like an administrative process, but it needs to come top down. So what is acceptable content for us? Do we need to vet this information? How do we cover all our bases? And make this policy very clear to everyone who is contributing, to your employees, but also to the public. This is the government site. This is not Wikipedia. And then try to think about ways and how you can resolve disputes about content. Now, we are working with peers if we are thinking about an intra-organizational wiki. And when we are working across 18 different agencies, obviously disputes might come up. How do you resolve that people are not happy with the content or that they're not happy that other people have deleted their content? So one way to do that is to set up a neutral committee of knowledge experts who can intervene if necessary. The other form is, I kind of already mentioned it, that the formal ways of collaboration and knowledge sharing are very dominant in government. So breaking up a culture and allowing for informal exchanges is one of the biggest cultural changes that probably need to happen throughout the next few years. And as I said, you can't just do this by mandating the use of a wiki. You need to add all kinds of other collaborative elements. And as a manager, you might have to actually do that by walking around and training people and bring them on board, get them excited about the tool. Moreover, again, as I said, you can't really mandate this. People have ways on how they report, whatever they do on a daily basis and who they report to. So it will be difficult for them to switch that or set up a parallel knowledge creation structure so that people pick their own area of expertise. Then they're much more likely to participate if they actually feel that they are talking about things that they are also naturally talking about and where they feel they have something to say about. I saw a lot that people are giving away additional incentives like coffee mugs where it says be bold and contribute for the intelligence community. But you might also have to think about other ways and how to include their expertise. What I've seen, some of those best practice examples, it's kind of interesting that contributors are not necessarily the Gen Y generation, so the what you would say the naturally young contributors, but that people who have had a long tenure in government really want to contribute. People who are on their way out into retirement want to give back to the organization and a lifetime of public service, and they want to share the knowledge that they have. So it's a fantastic strategic tool to kind of download the knowledge that they have accumulated over 20 or 30 years of public service. And remember that knowledge moves with people. So if people are sent to another job, they're leaving government, or they're working on a new project, most of the knowledge that is really actionable is in their heads. So you, as I said before, you need to find ways on how to download that knowledge. And a wiki can be a great tool to do that. So we can also think about this from an HR perspective and use a wiki for that purpose. And then the other side is, of course, the day-to-day administration, right? I mentioned a few of those things already. Just wanted to repeat how you can get started and what you do in different phases. So what I've heard are two different approaches. You in the seeding phase, when you decide you want to write a wiki or you want to start a wiki project on a specific topic, think about the seeding of the initial content. What DoD Techipedia did, they hired contractors to upload several thousand documents initially in a very specific format. It's not emergent at all. And then they invited the employees to change the content or add to it. Others told me this is not the way to go. People are intimidated by the format. They feel this is already formal information and they don't want to change anything that's already been written. So they started with just bullet points and said, you know, this is how you could write this. This is what we want to see. Why don't you pick a topic and then you design your page in whatever ways you want. So really an emergent tactic where you don't introduce too much formalized criteria. You let the content emerge and then people are more likely to contribute because it looks like as an evolving document. And so we can still change things and we can still contribute instead of seeing a finalized document where only a word or two might be wrong. So that's a great way to get started. And then make sure that you keep your information alive and that these are rolling documents. Make sure you label them as constantly being in a beta status, so these are not final documents, and that they're really gaining quality by collective contributions over time. And then train people. You actively have to train everyone to use the tools and show them ways on how they might make your life easier or better. In the intelligence community, again, it was interesting that at the beginning, they started with the training of the incoming cohort every year. They only had half an hour to talk about Web 2.0 tools. Over time, now they have 3 full weeks of training on Web 2.0 tools. So this is obviously the incoming cohort then learns that this is the standard operating procedure that we have. But what is more difficult is to retrain those people who have been with the organization 5, 10, 15 years and who know all the other tools, right? So you still have to train on a continuous basis the whole organization. I think that's true for all the social media tools that we look at. The last thing that I wanted to say is that we need to set up very clear rules and an online professionalism and an etiquette. So I mentioned it a couple of times before that we have the editorial team, but repeating your rules over and over again is a very important tool to educate all your contributors what the appropriate language is, what the conduct is, and what we do and when we have defamations, and that we are willing to delete things.
Professor Merkel, could you give us a sense of the future? What does the future look like for the use of wikis in government?
Yeah, so for all of us who are in this area, it seems like we are not moving fast enough, right? We see all these tools. Everyone now has a Facebook page, a Twitter account. People are starting to use wikis. But in my perspective, this is really the tip of the iceberg. The federal government obviously is very well equipped. They have the Web Managers Council with their weekly phone calls. They're educating each other all the time. But in the rest of the country, this is not the same. What we see in the federal government are really best practices and lighthouse projects. Very few of them. And I think we are just starting to get into social media and to understand, you know, what kind of strategies do we need? What are the right tactics for our mission, for our audiences? And what do we get out of this? So one of the big open questions is really, what are the outcomes? Are we changing the way that we operate? Are we becoming more effective and more efficient? Or is this just a fashion and a fad and that might go by? I don't believe it is. I think we just need to make those kinds of business cases that we do, for example, with the reports that IBM publishes, that we are putting ourselves into or between agencies and showing them your local context is not so unique. You all have very similar problems. Here are some of the solutions that we can provide, and here are some of the technologies that might help to get to a solution for you.
Wonderful way to end our discussion, Professor Merkel. I want to thank you for your time, but more importantly, I'd like to thank you for your recent IBM Center report, Using Wikis in Government, a Guide for Public Managers.
Thank you so much also for the support that I received from IBM. This was a wonderful project.
This has been a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with Professor Inez Merkel, author of the IBM Center Report, Using Wikis in Government, a Guide for Public Managers. You may order or download a free copy of this or all Center Reports at businessofgovernment.org. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.
Each edition of the Business of Government magazine has as its focus the core mission of the IBM Center, connecting research to practice as a means to improve public management. We do this by bringing together insights and perspectives blended with an equal measure of practicality and reflection from an array of government leaders, public managers, thinkers, and practitioners. Hi, I'm Michael Keegan, managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. In an era of fiscal contraction, today's leaders face unique challenges that present many difficult choices. It is a period that, while imposing many constraints, simultaneously confers as many opportunities to make a difference, introduce new ways of managing, explore pragmatic approaches, and pursue management imperatives that help government leaders perform in an ever-challenging, complex environment. In our latest edition, we bring you conversations with FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt, outlining the Next Generation Air Transportation System, or NextGen. Rafael Boris, DHS Undersecretary for Management, discusses how the department is turning its one DHS vision into a reality. Stephen Goldsmith, Deputy Mayor for Operations for the City of New York, discusses how the city is shaping a government that is customer-focused, innovative, and efficient. We offer perspectives on power, security, and leadership in the 21st century from Professor Joseph S. Nye, Jr. and General Anthony Zinni, former commander of the U.S. Central Command. Our forum presents seven management imperatives that government leaders must pursue to be successful in this new environment. All of this and so much more in the Spring-Summer 2011 edition of the Business of Government magazine. Download or order a free copy at businessofgovernment.org and find out how the business of government is not business as usual.
In an era of fiscal constraint marked by shrinking budgets and increasing demands on services, how are local government executives leveraging innovation, common sense, and technology to make a real difference? What is New York City doing to innovatively deliver health and human services? Join host Michael Keegan as he discusses New York City's efforts with Linda Gibbs, Deputy Mayor for Health and Human Services of the City of New York. That's next week on the Business of Government Hour.